Welcome back yet again to the Ramble Room. This is another installment on our series on the platform of the Wyoming GOP. The original discussion went on for close to 2 hours, and so we've decided to break it up into segments. Each of these segments has a similar intro so that each show will stand as a standalone show. If you are following this series and don't want to hear the intro each time, just skip to about 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Another special edition. Again, we are joined by David Iverson of
Cowboy State Politics.
Also with us today is Todd Windsor. Todd is state committeeman for Sheridan County. Diane is here with us too. There's been a lot of talk of late about how the Republican Party has been taken over by extremists. What we want to do is take a good look at the platform and what it actually says. A lot of people will hear that there's complaining that these radicals have taken over, but they don't necessarily know what these radicals have said. So we want to quote from the platform.
Before we get there, Ken, just an important point. A lot of the people that are accusing us of being radicals were part of the discussion about the platform at the last Wyoming GOP convention. In fact, they were in the meeting. It's those same folks that are now claiming that the party's been taken over by radicals.
The current platform that the party's using dates back to 2012, to the state convention, of which a number of people who are now whining about it were part of and approved the platform.
One of the important parts of the party platform is the very beginning, where it says we believe that there are timeless truths. And everything that you see in the Republican Party platform are things that most people generally agree on. We say that they're timeless because they're true, and they've always been true.
Wyoming was one of the first states to take its platform and distill it down and condense it so it fit on one piece of paper front and back at the most. The National Republican Party actually took the Wyoming platform as an example and took their national platform, which was like 70 pages, and distilled it down to a similarly short piece of work. And that was all because of what we did here in Wyoming.
So what I propose is that I will read a few of these articles and let you two comment on them. Number 9, liberty is indivisible from economic freedom. The free market economy is the economic system most compatible with the requirements of personal freedom and constitutional government. Government's undue interference in the market, as well as the fiscal irresponsibility of government, results in economic inequity. There exists no fundamental right to the fruits of another person's labor. That's more that self-ownership, I think.
So you're not going to forgive my student loan debt, Ken?
No.
Bummer.
No.
Again, this goes back to the essential point of what private property is and what personal liberty
is.
You can't divide liberty from economic freedom. If you're not free to try to excel or to engage in commerce, well, then by definition, you are not free. And this is, again, it's one of those things that, you know, it's a timeless principle that all of us should agree upon.
It also goes back to one of the points that I tend to make consistently about things, that if something is screwed up, it's because somewhere along the line the government got involved in it. Fundamental, there are examples everywhere of this. I mean, the government gets involved and all of a sudden they're picking winners and losers. They're telling you what you can and cannot do with your property. And your property may be your work. And they, you know, it's just, you can, virtually anything that's a problem is because the government got involved.
Well, right. And again, I know I keep going back to this document written by the folks that accuse us of being extremists.
I'm glad you have it there. It helps.
I know. This is fantastic. But here's what they want to replace that whole article in the platform with.
I can't wait.
Quote, "We believe that the state legislature should have the freedom to use all tools and resources at its disposal to promote prosperity and economic development for the state."
Okay. I was going to hold this off till we got to number 16, which deals with education, because there is this idea out there now called critical race theory.
Oh, boy.
And to me, it's founded in the concept that if the end result doesn't mean there's absolute parity, then the balances are tilted. If at the end of everything, we don't all end up with exactly the same thing, then it's racist, it's bigoted, it's out of balance. which completely ignores the fundamental truth that every person is different and therefore given the same opportunities, the same pathways, every individual is going to come out in a different place. We all make different choices if we're free.
Then we have to know who to blame.
Right. When your stupid mistakes wind you up in a mess, then something must have been wrong with the system.
Well, again, this is another example of where Democrats have a problem reading. You know, I accuse this group that's calling us extremists as just Democrats who can't spell, which it's true. But they're mixing up two different words, equality and equity. The
yes.
only place in the American system where you get equity is in the law. That is, everybody is treated the same before the law. Every other place, you have equality of opportunity. That's the only equality that you're guaranteed, and that is to be equal before the law, to be treated equally before the law, and that you get equity in that treatment. Me, just the same as Todd and just the same as Diane and Ken, we're all treated the same before the law, but the only equality that you're guaranteed is the equality of opportunity, and that goes back to your own personal responsibility.
But it's not fair if after 40 years of working, I'm broke and Todd gets to live on the hill in a big house with his wife and his dog. That's not fair.
I guess it isn't. Sorry about that.
Never mind all the dumb mistakes that I made that brought me to where I'm at.
Well, and there again is your progressive word of fair, okay?
Right.
Who determines what is fair? I mean, it's... The only fairness in the world is you have the same opportunity as I do to go out and make a good living for you and your family. That's the only fairness that you're guaranteed.
So I made some crack about student loan debt earlier.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were serious.
I paid my student loan debt off years ago, Ken.
If they excuse someone else's, to be fair, then they should reimburse you for yours.
They should. I mean, I used the bonus I got the first year I worked at a job to pay mine off with. So
good man.
It's what you did. I mean, I didn't want any debt. If you take two people who come out of high school, and there's memes on this and all sorts of things, and one of them decides to go be a carpenter so they can live like Ken and start working right away, and they're making money, and the other person goes and racks up, you know, $125,000 in debt so they can go get a degree in women's studies, and then they can't get a job, or they get a job but it only pays $29,000 a year. Meanwhile, Ken's over there making $50,000 for the last 3 years. And all of a sudden, Ken should pay for the other person's choices?
Yes. Yeah. Sure. Why not?
Same thing with your story. You said your first bonus, you went and paid off your debt.
Yeah, that was silly.
You could have gone out and bought some cocaine.
I should have.
Yeah. And then later, it'd all be fair.
Then it would be fair, yeah. I could still have my student loan debt, yeah. And I could get it paid off by somebody else.
Duh.
You just didn't wait long enough.
I didn't know. I mean, I couldn't read the tea leaves. No.
Number 10, citizenry government by the Constitution. The citizens of the United States are the ultimate authority. Governments possess powers derived only from the consent of the governed.
This is radical.
Extremist.
Extremist and radical. And this statement only exists in the Wyoming Republican Party platform.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
You mean it's elsewhere, too?
When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for the one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as they shall seem likely to affect their safety and happiness. If that's not radical, I don't know what it is.
I don't know. You're reading it out of a little red book.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's put out by the Cato Institute, so you know it's got to be bent.
Yeah.
It's extreme.
Well, you know, those founding fathers were rather radical.
Actually,
thank God they were. Yes.
Well, and that's, you know, Ken and I were talking about this before we started the interview or the roundtable today, that when the Constitution was written, it was a radical idea because nowhere else in the world had people decided that, well, maybe we can govern ourselves. I mean, every other country in the world had a king or a czar or an emperor, and this whole idea that we could have a citizen legislature and that we could decide laws for ourselves was referred to as the American experiment. It was called an experiment because everybody thought it was going to fail. And it was only the brilliance of our founders that knew that man can govern himself. And so when we talk about that citizens of the United States are the ultimate authority, that doesn't mean that the government has any power. Power is derived from the consent of the governed, which means us. And these our friends, the Democrats, they fundamentally don't believe that. They believe that government in and of itself has their own power.
They've raised probably two generations now of people who think that the Bill of Rights is not a protection against the government, that it just says the government lets you do these things. You know, like they believe that we only are allowed firearms because the government lets us have them, and the Bill of Rights, Article 2, lets them give us firearms, which is wrong.
Well, it's okay. So the Bill of Rights, my head's going to explode reading this document from the people that call us extremists. Do you have any duct tape? I might need it. Okay, so the Bill of Rights
I'm a prepper. Of course I have duct tape.
All right, I might need it.
I think I need a mask.
So the Bill of Rights is a list of what are called negative liberties. And what that means is it's not a list of what you can do. It's a list of what the government can't do.
Correct.
Right.
The Constitution is an entire document that says these are all of the things that the government can't do to you. Because all of these things listed in the platform and in the Constitution are what are called pre-existing rights. That means that you had them before the creation of government. So when we take, for example, life and the protection of it, okay, those are rights you have that are granted to you by God, that there's no government in the world that can take them away. And the liberal, Democrat, progressive view of the Constitution is that it is the government that grants rights. Well, the government can't grant you something that is timeless. Now, you were reading the Declaration of Independence, and I wanted to bring up one other thing, that it says that we hold these truths to be self-evident. Now, what that self-evident truths are what philosophers would call final causes. Final causes are the big things. They're the things that are worth dying for, and that they're always true regardless. So when you put that phrase together with we hold these truths to be self-evident and that they are timeless, when in the course of human events means at all times, everywhere, all over the place. So we believe that these things are the truth at all times for everyone, and the government cannot take them away. Okay, I'll put my soapbox away.
However,
I'm going to get you a bigger one.
I might need it today.
I'm trying to help.
Governments possess powers derived only from the consent of the governed. So all of the things that we're griping about, the fact that the government has those powers is by our consent. We've sat here and let this happen. Now, maybe not each person in this room separately and culpably for each thing, but they've had our consent.
Well, we've strayed greatly from the original premise of the Founding Fathers, which is that we would be an educated populace who was involved in politics and the government of our country. And that's changed to a populace that is not educated for the most part, even though we have free public school everywhere.
And costing millions and billions.
People who just don't care about the government. I mean, we have in, you know, Sheridan County, we have elected time and again legislator and senator over and over again who vote against Second Amendment issues. And we keep electing them who are pro-taxing us. I mean, if that is not an example of people not being involved or not understanding or not being educated, I don't know what is. I mean, we do it both at the state and local and the national level.
Yeah, but we can't necessarily just sit here and blame it on those crazy Democrats.
Oh, no. Now we're talking about the red coats in Cheyenne.
Yeah.
Okay, but we have consented to that by not doing anything, is my point.
Oh, well, you're
we
exactly
are also
right about that.
Guilty.
You are exactly right.
Okay, that's my only point.
And it's like, well, you know, so it's a classic case of let somebody else do it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get involved. Oh, that's not my thing. I mean, the easiest thing to do is to vote. And the number of people who don't vote is just astounding. And then the second part of that is to actually learn about these people running.
Do that first.
Yeah.
Do that first
before you vote. Yeah. And then if you really don't like it, run yourself. You know.
Incidentally, the 19th article says, our liberty and the continued success of our Republican form of federal government, and I would say not just federal, demands continuous vigilance by we the people. We must be informed. We must be engaged. We haven't been. And therefore, by being disengaged, ill-informed, or not even close, we have found ourselves where we're at. We have given our consent to be governed in this way. But at some point, enough people are going to wake up and say that's enough.
It just, you know, is the classic analogy in the gun control world about the boiling water pot with the frog in it.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're planning right now to actually throw the frog in the boiling water pot rather than just put the frog in the cold water. And
I'm saying bring it.
And if they do that, that will spur a lot of people into action, at least in states like this.
I think this program and my program are instrumental in educating people that wouldn't normally be interested in politics. And you know, like you were saying, Todd, there are so many people that just say, I don't like politics. I don't want to get involved. And beyond that, well, I'm just one person, so I really can't make a difference anyway. So
my vote doesn't count. Oh, it doesn't matter if I vote.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if I vote. Well, it does. It absolutely does. And one person really can make a tremendous difference. I mean, before we started recording, we were talking about the Uinta County deal. And that is a case where a very small number of votes changed an election, legally, I might add, and according to the bylaws, I might add. But that was a case of where a very few number of votes changed the outcome of what some other people, the ones that like to call us extremists, really wanted. So, I mean, you have to be involved. You have to be educated, and you have to know what's going on, like Diane said, with all of these legislators.
And I would also add to that I hate politics. I never wanted to know what's going on at all. I don't want to have to worry about this. But pick one thing that you care about.
Sure.
You don't have to know all of it. You don't have to try to change Washington, D.C. Think about just pick one thing you care about and look at what your city is doing.
Question, Todd.
Yeah.
How many people show up at your county meetings?
Well, lately, you know, we have about 73, if you count the precinct committee people, and you know there will be usually there's a few absences. So it'll be like 60, between 49 and 60. People have been more engaged lately. We had a meeting which was right after Liz Cheney decided that she would take her fight with Trump public. And we had, you know, like 40-some county precinct people there. We had 150-plus people who were just there because, well, as I were calling the angry Republicans who were there.
Extremists
that... Of the 150, 149 of them, if they had a rope and Liz Cheney, she'd be hanging from a lamppost in front of the Best Western. So, you know, that was kind of that. But they were energized and they were upset. And, you know, the party, the one complaint you'll hear from people in the state, and it's usually from people who really aren't involved, is that the Republicans don't act like Republicans. They, you know, and then that is kind of what we're talking about here, is that if you look at the state where supposedly this Republican supermajority, yet we have legislators who vote against things such as voter ID, which is a pretty standard Republican plank. But they sit there and they argue against it and they vote against it. We have legislators who are promoting taxing everybody, taxing corporations, taxing individuals, which is not really any, it's not anywhere, in, it's actually against the Republican platform. It's not really, if you're a Republican, it's not really something you want to promote. Yet they're doing that and they are labeled as Republicans, they run as Republicans, they call themselves Republicans. And the citizens of Wyoming are fed up with that, because they aren't educated enough to understand the difference between what a true Republican believes, and we have a number of them in legislature, some have been on your show, Ken, mm-hmm. And what people who call themselves or identified as Republicans are. They just don't, you know, to them, they're all Republicans. And the ones who get the press are the ones who are not really Republicans.
Again, David and I are trying to change that. We want to bring a little bit of balance, fairness to the press.
Oh, it's not fair where I'm concerned.
No,
it's...
No. Well, you know, I've been going on for this years ago, is that, you know, we are in a war, and people just haven't awakened to that fact that we are. This is not just a, this is not a philosophical discussion. It's not a friendly political bantering back and forth. Mm-hmm. We are in a war for our very survival of the core of our country. And we have one group that does not, that wants to win that war. And they're ahead. They're tactically sound. They are winning. And unless we get involved and energized, they will win. And then we really won't like what's happened.
I know my trips to watch the legislature, I was, well, and frankly, before I started cowboy state politics, I just always assumed that we all lived in a conservative state. And the truth is, most of the people that we elect are not conservatives. In the House, we have about 18, on a good day, 23 people who are solidly conservative. The rest of them are not. When you have a Medicaid expansion bill pass with 32 votes, to 28, by the way. So we had a couple people side with the conservative viewpoint on that one. But there's 32 legislators in Wyoming, the most conservative state in the country, that voted for the biggest transgression of your personal liberty that has ever come through that legislature. And that is a result of just exactly what Todd was saying, is that people who are not involved and they believe what these redcoats are telling you. They say, well, I'm a Republican, so you can vote for me. Well, that's not true. Just saying you're a Republican or a conservative does not make it so. You know, and those are the very people that we need to campaign against, and we need to replace them with solid conservative candidates. So if you're one of those out there that's listening and you complain a lot like we do, maybe run for office. Get involved with the
Amen.
Party. Run for a precinct position, right, Todd?
Definitely run for a precinct position. I mean, most precinct positions are unopposed, you know, and a lot of them are unfilled.
In our recent discussion with the three representatives, one of the things they were talking about is get involved in just the boards.
Yep.
They said, whether it be a sewer board or whether it be a planning commission or whatever, just get involved, because the more conservatives that are there, the easier it is to govern from Cheyenne. And then that spills over into Washington, D.C. as well.
Well, now that Representative Bear's not here, we can tell everybody what he was referring to about the cemetery board. So if you listen to Cowboy State Politics, you've heard this story before, but now we're on the Ramble Room, so I can tell you. So the cemetery board in Campbell County twice voted to spend $10,000 on an economic development association. Now, I don't know what a cemetery does that they need economic development, but the board that ran the cemetery in Campbell County, they sure wanted to give those people something to do when they weren't voting. I mean, the point is that you have people that get elected to these boards, and more often than not, there's a large chunk of taxpayer money that's sitting in the board's coffers. And it comes through mill levies, and they don't spend it, and it just builds up. Well, I've never met a liberal that doesn't look at a pile of money and can't dream of ways of spending it. And that is exactly what happens. You get people that are not conservative elected to boards, and they see a big pile of money, and they find a way to use it for their own political advantage. And the thing is, with boards, a lot of them in Wyoming are kind of independent of the local government. The one that I sit on, which is the Solid Waste Board, we're in control of $5 million of taxpayer funds. And we could spend it, we could vote tomorrow to spend it all, and there's nothing that could be done about it. So getting on all these boards that hardly anybody ever attends is an excellent way to get involved. Plus, it directly affects you. I mean, it's your tax money.
Here in town, the Planning Commission had at least one opening, maybe two, for how long? Several months.
Yep.
That's a big board there. That's a really important one.
And I got recruited to throw my name into the hat, or my hat into the ring. And so I did so. And of course, as soon as I did, the very people that we're talking about all got together and came up with several other people that they could find who might be coerced into doing that. And so my letter says, we chose someone else.
Yeah, we went from having no applicants to having one applicant, Ken. And then to mysteriously having five applicants.
Weird.
I can't even get elected committee man. I tried.
Maybe it's because you smiled at him.
It may be. I mean, if I would have winked at him, maybe asked him out for a date,
yeah,
that he'd be all over it then.
That's right.